You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan into the studio 2 weeks in a row since the council meeting last time was moved, and we're on regular schedule this week, the second and fourth Mondays of each month for the meetings. Therefore, I have you here on that Tuesday.
That's right. Only 1 week apart. So,
thank you.
But there's still a lot happening.
Yes, there is. And let's start with the lighting of the trees. I hear it could have been the largest crowd so far.
Well, you and I both obviously are on the stage, so
yes,
we see that crowd every year. And last year, you know, obviously it was a lot different because of COVID. But yes, it was a huge crowd. And you probably saw me, Lori. I just kind of wanted to stand up there and watch everything because it's so magical when the snow starts falling and you see that crowd. It's just, I didn't want to leave the stage.
I know, just to take it all in. And yes, Stephen Savage, as well as Sherry Swartz with the Fairhope Police Department, took some fantastic pictures.
They
which
did.
We have on our page, and of course the city does,
right,
if you missed it. So it was truly, truly magical.
It is.
And you selected Vernon of,
mm-hmm,
of Ken and Vern's Barbershop.
That's right. To flip the switch,
mm-hmm,
and turn on the lights. You know, that tradition of lighting the tree started in downtown Fairhope with Joyce Stowe from Stowe's Jewelers. And I just really, you know, Vernon was out last year for an extended period of time, and it was obvious how much of an impact he's made on our community because people were calling City Hall and asking when he was going to be back.
Wow.
There were cards taped to his,
mm-hmm,
door. You know, he was on social media. People were asking when he was going to come back. So I just thought it was important this year of all years to really kind of get back to the roots of that event and have somebody from downtown. He's been in business for 54 years in downtown.
Wow.
So he was there with me. Him and his wife were there, and it was just a really special time.
Quite an icon for downtown and
he
a
is.
Tradition.
Yes,
from,
absolutely.
I know there's probably many young boys have gotten the haircut that are now taking their kids and maybe even grandkids.
That's right.
It's been 50-something years.
He gave me one of my first haircuts. You know, I can remember going in there and he put this little bitch in his chair and
right,
he sat up on it and he gave you bubble gum and cut your hair. So, you know, I think he probably cut my bangs more than anything. But, you
right,
know, going with my dad was a treat.
And I remember taking my boys and,
mm-hmm,
and getting that bubble
mm-hmm
gum.
Yeah, that's right.
That's cute. So let's transition now. The work session was discussion of the Dias Triangle. Is there a way to summarize that for newcomers that don't know what the Dias Triangle is?
Sure. So the Dias Triangle is a piece of property. It actually splits Veterans Drive when you come in at the Welcome to Fairhope sign. It's actually both parcels of green space that sections Veterans Drive. And both parcels of land are now owned by the city. And we are trying to decide how we want to develop that with trails and as a nature park. We have enlisted the help of the Fairhope Environmental Advisory Board to help us come up with some deed restrictions, because we want to work with single tax and do a parks deed, which will hopefully, you know, into the future save that from any kind of development or anything, is what we're trying to do,
mm-hmm,
versus doing a conservation easement.
Isn't it already designated for parks and recreation only?
It is designated for parks and recreation, but this will actually add an additional layer if we do this with single tax. So what happens if you do these deed restrictions with single tax? If down the road a future city council or somebody came in and wanted to develop that land and it was outside of what the deed restrictions will allow, then it would have to be approved by the city council, approved by the single tax board, and then actually approved by the membership of single tax. So it gives you multiple layers of folks that it would have to go through in order to do, mm-hmm, anything different on that piece of property.
Because I understand land conservation, but also understand at the rate of Fairhope's growth, the city may need land near downtown in the future.
We might need that land
to put city facilities.
But right now, you know, the city leaders and myself included feel very passionate about preserving that as green space. I think that it speaks volumes for a city and a town when you drive into their entrance and there is green space. And I think that we are all on the same page about wanting to preserve that and wanting to maintain it as a nature park.
And in the future, with lots of hoops to jump through, that could be changed.
Right. Okay. It could be, but it would take would take the vote of, you know, a lot of people to make that happen.
Okay. And anything else in the work session you want to mention before we move on?
One thing I just want to mention, too, about those deed restrictions. We did go through some of the deed restrictions that were proposed by the Fairhope Environmental Advisory Board. We felt like right now we did get almost $1 million Go Mesa grant to develop that parcel of land to be able to put some trails on there, a trailhead, some restrooms. Some of the deed restrictions we felt were a little too restrictive until we have a vision for that park. So we are going to kind of take a step back, get the Go Mesa grant going, probably enlist a landscape architect to give us some ideas, working with Auburn's Forestry Management Department to do a forestry management plan, and then probably go back and look at the deed restrictions.
Okay. Was it former Councilman Robert Brown had pushed for, I believe, a bike path? Is that still an idea
to be part of
the plan?
That was the, I think, the American Mountain Biking Association who came up with some trails to put on there. And that's still the intent, is to do trails on the triangle. But one thing I said last night is, you know, we've always said right there across from the flower clock is where the trailhead needs to be. We put some additional parking there, put the restroom facility, maybe put a kiosk there, or educational, some interpretive signs, and that would be where the park would start. Well, that's what we've always thought, but if you bring somebody in from the outside or bring a landscape architect in, that may not be the best place for the trailhead. You know, that's just what we've always envisioned, I guess. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's nice to kind of bring that visionary person in who can help you, you know, see some different aspects of that park.
Right. Okay. All right. And on to the meeting. One of the first items on the agenda, other than the approval of minutes from the previous meeting, is report of the mayor. What did you have to report?
Right. So last night it was pretty brief. I just, you know, really thanked the staff and the community for coming out for the tree lighting. And this past weekend, you know, we not only had the tree lighting, but we had the movie in the streets and downtown open house. And I think we had great crowds throughout the weekend. Mm-hmm. So really thanked everybody, and especially the staff for, you know, putting those events on for our community. And then talked about the Christmas parade on December 3rd.
Same route still applies so far?
Same route still applies.
Because this Church Street infrastructure project here in front of us on North Church will just not cross Fairhope Avenue.
Correct.
Until after that.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So it'll be still the same route and everything. And then we have Christmas movie night at the Fairhope Stadium on December the 5th. So this is a new event this year. We have the Jumbotron, obviously, that most people saw during football. And it allows us to show movies on that Jumbotron. So we're going to be showing Frozen. We're also going to have some activities out there with the local sports teams and really start trying to do some more things in the stadium with the Jumbotron. So we're excited about that.
And that is when?
December 5th.
Oh, Sunday afternoon?
Mm-hmm. And okay. It is on our Facebook page and on our website.
Is it on that holiday breakdown? Okay.
Not on that holiday breakdown, but there's an additional flyer for
okay,
it.
Okay, good.
This is the first year we're doing that.
I haven't seen that yet. We'll
and
sure
then,
share that.
You know, just also tell everybody Happy Thanksgiving, and to remember to, you know, check the city's website for information or the Facebook page for information on, you know, garbage and trash collection, that kind of thing.
There's no service. Offices are closed.
Correct.
Thursday and Friday.
Correct.
I didn't see, though, sometimes the pool or the golf courses in the rec center might open
on Friday.
They're all open on
they
Friday.
Are.
Okay.
Just closed on Thursday.
That's good to know. And I see number 6, authorizing signees of City of Fairhope accounts. Is this because we now have a new council president?
Correct. The myself, the council president, the treasurer, and the city clerk are our signatures on our accounts. And so we had to just change that information for the council president.
Okay. Anything? Oh, it looks like we are already hiring fireworks for July.
That's actually for New Year's Eve.
This is just
for New Year's Eve, and so this is the same group, J&M Displays, that did the fireworks for 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And now we had to authorize that for New Year's Eve.
Okay, because there's going to be a band and the fireworks,
right.
And
right.
Back to normal there downtown too. Okay. Number 8. When folks fuss about sewer spills, y'all are spending a gazillion dollars on sewer improvements, and here's $269,000 of it.
Right.
For services for lift station and force main improvements to sewer department. This is at 181 and 104.
Right. This will take a force main from Bishop Road to that 104-181 intersection. And anybody who's been through that intersection, you can see the growth that's going on there. You see the Publix and the other retail stores. Uh-huh. You see USA. You see the housing developments. So this is going to allow us to upgrade a lift station or increase the size of a lift station that's there, and also put that force main in to help us better serve those areas. So, you know, as you do sewer, you have different lift stations that all that runs through, and this will end up being a master lift station that you know, actually I think there's 7 other lift stations that will run through this lift station and through this force main.
So all of the new development creating the need for a new lift station,
Right, and that is the responsibility of that development, the lift station is.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to get to. I defended y'all's honor over the weekend on
Facebook.
I saw
that. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And so explain when a development happens, whether it's in the city limits or in our jurisdiction, or they choose to annex.
Right.
Tell us what happens.
Well, and for us, it's a little bit different. There's two separate things we have to look at. We have to look at the planning side of it, you know, if there's zoning, if there's not zoning, if it's outside our city limits, if it's inside our city limits. And then you have the utility side of it, because the utility side of it is if they are in our utility footprint. And so, I mean, obviously they are in our water and sewer territory in that area. So that's one side of it. But the planning side is, you know, kind of almost completely different, because you have to make sure you have the utilities that you can serve them, you have the capacity, and then you work with those developers. They put in the infrastructure, and then we basically, you know, take it from there and are able to serve them. But from the planning standpoint, really outside of our city's limits, if it's unzoned, the only thing that we enforce is our subdivision regulations. And for commercial development, obviously, we work with them.
But if it's in the jurisdiction, do you still get a portion of a tax?
Impact fees.
The utilities.
Yes, the utilities do. And there's tap fees. There's system development charges, which is what you'll hear, that kind of transition to system development charges. It's basically the investment they're making in your system. You and I have paid into that system for a long time as homeowners. You know, we've paid into it. But when you have these new people come in, they make an investment into your system, which is a system development charge.
Okay. And what, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but what kind of a dollar amount are we talking if we've got one of these, you know, 75 or 100 house subdivisions coming in?
It depends on how many residents are there, how many, the meter size. There's different prices break down based on meter size and how many people that you're serving in that area. So I don't have all those figures off the top of my head. I apologize. But there is a significant amount of money that they have to do. That they have to spend.
Enough to reimburse this $269,000 investment?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Absolutely. And you also have to think down the road, Lori. There are some things that you have to think about, like a subdivision. If you put in a 300-home subdivision and they have to run a $250,000 sewer line or water line or whatever it might be to get to that development, there are times where we would partner on that and times that we wouldn't. A lot of it depends on if they're coming in the city limits or if they're going to annex in or if they're not. And also, you know, off every house for sewer and water, I mean, that's $3,000 because you get a $1,500 tap fee for both. So, and plus, they're going to start paying water and sewer. They're going to be water and sewer customers. So there's a lot of calculations that have to go into that, a lot of things that you have to look at and that you have to factor in on how you look at these developments.
Okay. All right. I guess we'll transition back to the agenda. Then we're going to go back to development to talk about the comprehensive plan meetings. Okay. Sorry for hopping around.
That's okay.
We're with Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan here at WABF. It is 8:37 and 46 degrees. I see the annual Christmas luncheon or holiday luncheon for the employees is coming up.
We do that every year. So we're excited to be able to do that again at Oak Hollow. We've done it at Oak Hollow for several years now, and we were able to maintain pricing with them this year and able to, you know, feed the employees one afternoon, give away some door prizes. We'll have a cornhole tournament and just, you know, spend some time celebrating with the people that we spend more time with during the year than probably our families.
That's good.
We're excited about that.
Camaraderie and the fellowship.
It is.
That's excellent. All righty. Anything else? Going to page two, I know that Jack Burrell is excited about hiring the city's own electrician, a licensed electrician. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm excited about that, too. You know, as we're looking at these projects, and probably anybody who's done any kind of home repair or big projects know how hard it is to find those licensed electricians or carpenters or whatever it might be. So that's one thing that we don't have on staff right now is a licensed electrician. And we have several projects that we can really benefit from having an electrician on staff. So we kind of weighed the cost of the labor involved in some of these projects, and if we can buy the supplies and have a licensed electrician on staff, and really feel like this is going to be a cost savings for the city and very beneficial.
Good. All right. Anything else on page two of the agenda from last night you'd like to mention? I have some more purchases of trucks and whatnot. want to remind folks that if you didn't see the meetings, you can catch them on the City of Fairhope's YouTube channel to watch live or to watch later at your convenience. The work session, whereas a lot of, in the agenda meeting, that's where everything's discussed.
That's right.
So we try to remind people it's important to watch that to understand what some of the votes or actions may be in the actual meeting.
Right. And I think the council does a great job of recapping those conversations, you know, and so if people don't get to see the agenda meeting, they get to hear the dialogue. But yes, that's a lot of the information is discussed at the agenda meeting.
What about public participation? We have at the beginning of the meeting, after the mayor's report, there is a public participation for agenda items only. And then at the end of the meeting, there's the same. However, it's for anything anybody wants to talk about.
Right.
Tell us about any you may have had.
We had two residents speak from Lowry Drive out in the White Grove subdivision under public participation on agenda items to talk about agenda item number 11, and that was replacing those lights that are in their neighborhood that had been out or down since Sally. And this was an issue with the territorial laws, the electric territorial laws. We were serving this subdivision in the beginning, and then when those territorial laws, there was a lawsuit way back, I think, I don't even know the year that it happened, but White Grove subdivision is now served by EMC, just kind of like Rock Creek is served by Riviera.
Okay.
So the same all territorial lawsuit. So typically when that happens, EMC will have the lights in that subdivision. They have a standard for lights. They have specs for that lighting. And then we pay for the electric usage because it's in our city limits. So when this subdivision was developed, the lights were not installed correctly. So we kind of went back and did some housekeeping, cleaned that up. These residents came in to speak to talk about how dark it was, how unsafe it was, and really advocate on behalf of their neighborhood for the city council passing this line item in order to get these lights correct, to get them installed, and to work with EMC to make sure that there's adequate street lighting for them.
Okay. All right. And anything else?
I think that was all.
Okay.
We didn't have anybody else under the other public participation.
Okay. And we want to remind people, speaking of public participation, the time to voice your opinion about future growth is at an upcoming comprehensive land use plan that you're seeking public input.
Absolutely.
It'll go a lot further than a complaint on Facebook, won't it?
Absolutely.
Tell us about the comprehensive plan meetings and what's happening.
Right. So right now we are redoing actually our comprehensive land use plan, and our next public meetings will be held December 2nd, one at 10 a.m. at Homestead Village and one at 6 p.m. at the Thompson Hall Fire Station. There's a classroom there. We have been taking these meetings all over the city. We've been to Quail Creek, the Civic Center, the Rotary Youth Club, the Nick Center, trying to reach out to neighborhoods and let them, you know, be in a convenient location so they can come to us. But we have a team of folks working on this. This is your chance to have your voice to say what you like about Fairhope, what you don't like, what you'd like to see in the future. Are there other communities that you visited that you like the things they're doing? How are we going to grow into the future? Do you like the growth? Do you don't like the growth? So this is your chance to have your voice heard. There's also a great website. It's planfairhope.com. If you're not comfortable coming to a public meeting and speaking, this is your opportunity. You can email us your input. So, you know, we're trying to be very open and transparent about this process. I think we've talked about it a whole lot. The information's out there. So, again, this is people's, you know, opportunity to share their concerns.
And the website again?
Is planfairhope.com.
Planfairhope.com. And once again, a lot of the frustration with growth is not knowing what's in the city limits and what's not, and what control the city may have over and not.
Right. And, you know, we had a gentleman speak talking about public participation at the last meeting, the last council meeting. Really, you know, was very thoughtful in his words and talked about the growth and how, you know, a lot of people that live in these unzoned areas outside the city limits, you know, when they built in those areas, we considered them the country growing up here. Mm-hmm. You know, we never thought development would push that far, and there was no need for zoning. Well, now there is that need for zoning. So, you know, the county, I know, is looking at their comprehensive plan. They're looking for some zoning districts that are outside our corporate limits. You know, we are encouraging people, if you're able to annex, annex in. You know, some people have not wanted to annex. They don't want to necessarily be in the city. There are things that they like about being part of the county, and we understand that. But if you choose to be in an unzoned area, you do take the risk of an apartment building going up next to you or a development. And really, there's not a whole lot that we can do to stop that.
Right. You can regulate it within your power.
Right.
Dependent upon where it is.
Right. And I think some things that are frustrating for me, obviously, is, you know, you have a planning commission that absolutely reviews all this. They ask for traffic studies. They ask for environmental studies. They ask for, you know, they really put these people through the ringer. We have a planning staff who reviews these plans. We have a, you know, a DRC meeting where we come in with all the utilities and review these subdivisions. And really frustrating to hear people think that we're not doing our due diligence or that we're just lining our pockets from developers, you know, because I've grown up here. I've been here my whole life. My dad, my daughter's a fifth generation. My dad grew up here. You know, I don't like some of the things I see in Fairhope either, but that's why I ran for office. I mean, and we are doing what we can to slow things, to put processes in place, but that takes time. You know, you have a, again, you have that planning commission. Those are people who have been appointed to a planning commission board by the previous administration.
Which does not have authority, by the way. They only take what could be 20 pages or 100 pages
Correct.
Of preparation from
That's right.
the planning and
commission.
Building department,
That's right.
your employees.
That's right.
They make a recommendation
They do.
To the planning commission. The planning commission can either approve or deny that recommendation,
right.
and all that does is recommend to the council whether or not to approve. They don't have the authority.
There are some things that don't go to the city council, though.
That's what Jack was
That's right. There are some things that don't go to the city
if
council.
If it's not a zoning change.
Correct. It doesn't. It that,
it
that
doesn't
planning,
have to.
That's right. The planning commission has that authority. So people need
right.
to really understand the planning commission's role, the city council's role, and understand that understand the law. I mean, and that's one thing that I would love to talk to our planning department about. We haven't gotten there yet, but we will. I would love to do it like a citizens academy, similar
mm-hmm.
to what the police department's doing
right.
about planning and zoning, to help people understand. I'm learning every day. I have to continue to educate myself about planning and zoning because it's complicated.
Right.
And it is, it's not something to be taken lightly.
Well, I tell you, if folks are interested in learning more, next, look, go to the City of Fairhope's website, type in planning commission, click on that, click on the meeting agenda, and then click on
you can look at the packets.
The packet.
The packets
it might be
are
called
there.
The press packet, because I made the mistake of printing that one time.
Oh, yeah, don't.
To each item on the agenda, like I said,
mm-hmm.
could be 10,
mm-hmm.
20, 40,
right.
50, 60
that's
pages
right.
of research, of
that's
homework
right.
that's all done before
Correct.
It ever gets on that agenda.
Correct.
And it's so interesting.
Well, and the first planning commission meeting that I attended was it lasted till 11:30 at night.
Whoa.
Like, I don't sit on the planning commission, so I, but I listen to all the meetings. I usually sit in my office working and watching on the computer, but that night I literally left my office like at 10 o'clock at night, went home, had my iPad sitting there finishing the meeting. But, you know, these people who serve on planning commission, they're volunteers. They're doing a great job for the city of Fairhope, but they are they spend a lot of hours reviewing these cases, and
mm-hmm.
it's not something they take lightly either.
So what about the possibility? There's two things, and we briefly touched on it last week. You mentioned maybe getting with the county commissioners because they're looking at their comprehensive
mm-hmm.
plan.
Correct.
You all are looking at yours, but you're also governed by state laws
we
that
are.
Tie your hands as to what who can do
we
when,
are.
Where,
yes.
and how.
I've recently met with one of the county commissioners. We have made a proposal to the county for how we'd like to see Fairhope's boundaries. And we are awaiting another meeting with them to kind of determine how SB 107 or that law that we keep talking about is how that's going to play out when it comes to our jurisdictions. Because as of right now, for 2 years, we maintain our jurisdictions, but in July of 23, those pull back to our corporate limits. We are trying to come up with an agreement with the county that will allow us to operate just outside our corporate limits and have them honor those boundaries.
Now, so we have a 3-mile extraterritorial jurisdiction, or ETJ.
And that goes away.
Completely?
Completely.
I thought it was like a gradual...
Completely.
No, okay.
Yeah, that will go away. You maintain your police jurisdiction.
Okay.
But not your ETJ.
That's the two things that I was confused.
Right, they're trying to do away with the ETJ altogether.
Huh.
So there are, you know, and for us, because we have so many, you know, you have a lot of people, again, who live in the county who consider themselves part of Fairhope, and eventually they could annex in. So you want to make sure that those people who are building just outside your corporate limits are meeting your specifications and are, you know, have the character of what you want your community to look like and how you grow. So it's important that we're able to work with the county and come to an agreement.
What do you mean by you met with a county commissioner about how you want the city's boundaries to look?
We've made a proposal to the county and said this is what we would like. We would like to go this far outside our city limits, and we would like all of our jurisdictions to mirror each other. And but we have to come to an agreement with the county, or on July 2023, it pulls back.
For the city limits or the jurisdiction?
The jurisdiction.
Okay, thank you.
Because not the city limits.
The city limit, that can only be annexed in by choice of the property owner.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Unless you're over a certain population, and then you have some opportunity to be able to legislatively annex if you're not. But right now, like to the south, we have the Barnwell Landmark District, which we obviously can't do that. We have the bay to the west. So really, we only have to the north, which we run into Daphne and to the east.
Uh-huh. Okay. Wow. See, it's a lot to take in.
And there's a lot of thought and time being put into planning. So I hate that folks really think that there is not. And if they think that, they should really get involved. And like you said, go on the website, look at those agenda packets. You know, let your voice be heard at these comprehensive plan meetings. But again, this is not something that myself, the city council, the planning commission, or our staff take lightly. We live in Fairhope. We are residents of Fairhope. And we love our community just like everybody else, or we would not be in the positions that we're in.
And the layers are so complex
because of
what you can and can't do. So one of the complaints was the overcrowding of the schools. Well, A, our kids had 30 kids in the classroom 20 years ago.
And there is communication with the schools. That's what I don't want people to think, that there's not communication with the schools, because there is. We have an MPO who reports, when subdivisions are reported, we have an MPO that reports that to the schools.
Jack Burrell told us that yesterday, that the MPO is the Metropolitan Planning Organization, which is a group of officials designated with helping divvy up the federal and state highway dollars or infrastructure dollars. So they have to look at that school growth.
They do.
So the school and the MPO communicate, so they're aware.
Right, they are. And if you go on the Eastern Shore MPO's website, or even, I don't think it's on their Facebook page, but if you go to their website, you can pull down that information yourself. There are some spreadsheets there that will tell you, like, how many lots have been approved in Fairhope and Loxley and Daphne and Spanish Fort. And that's all information that's sent to the school board.
But other than that, and you support the school financially.
Absolutely.
Monetarily.
We have a tax district.
The Philanta football field and the boosters
and the tax district. Right, it's huge.
And the allocations.
We do.
But you cannot govern or control
that
public school entity.
We cannot.
All right. Wow. It's a lot to take in.
It is a lot. And it's a lot of, you know, again, there's a lot of time spent talking about this and to make the processes more efficient and make sure that we are doing a good job for the citizens of not only Fairhope, but our surrounding areas, and that we are working together with our other elected officials to make sure Baldwin County just stays the best that it can be for the people who live here and the people who visit.
And no formal conversations yet about a building moratorium, but still something that has been discussed one-on-one.
It has been discussed, yes.
Okay. Do you anticipate taking action on that idea before the comprehensive land use plan meetings are over in March, or waiting until all of that is gathered?
I think obviously when you put a moratorium in place, there has to be reasons why you do that, and there has to be measurable goals associated with that. I think the comprehensive plan update would be one of those measurable goals and one of those things. So I think if something were to happen, it would probably be before those meetings wrapped up.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan joining us the second and fourth Tuesday of each